right. Well, another edition of 5 Minutes With, and I'm really excited about this to introduce you guys to someone that's a big part of my life and has been a great friend and mentor to me. William Pate is the president and CEO of the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau. He oversees the ACVB here in Atlanta. That's 50 million visitors, 16 billion in visitor spending, and 300,000 jobs. It's pretty amazing. He's a native Atlantan, which is another exciting and I think unique element to him. He's just a great person all around. And we worked together really closely when we were at Career Sports, and then he joined the ACBB. And when I look back on my memories of and experiences with William, a big one is I went to breakfast one time with William, and I said, "Man, I got this idea. I want to go, and I think I'd be a great CMO or marketer for someone else. It's time for a little bit of a change." And he looked at me and he said, "Sims, yeah, just do it on your own." So I owe him a lot for being really the first one to encourage and convince me to do that. So William, welcome.
And thank you, buddy.
Yeah, glad to have you, man. And for five minutes or so. Yeah.
Great to be with you.
Thanks. And you know, we talked last week when we were catching up, and Monday night would have been a big night for Atlanta. And you have been just in the middle of this. And I'd love to talk to you and kind of see the impact that this is having on the hospitality industry and really Atlanta and globally overall. If you don't mind, just sort of, these events take so long to plan, and then when they happen and we cancel them, how do you even rationalize that in your role?
Well, you know, specific to the Final Four, when you think about that, that was going to be our third major event in 3 years. We had the College Football Championship, then we had the Super Bowl. And this was going to be kind of the final jewel in that triumvirate. And so it was just very disappointing. I mean, everybody understands the decision NCAA had to make. You have to keep your student athletes and your visitors' health top of mind always. And so we understood and supported their decision. Nevertheless, it was still disappointing when you have 18 months of planning,
right,
thousands of volunteers who have been involved in this, and all the logistics that go into, you know, beyond the game, the fan fest, the concerts that were going to be at the park, the other activities that were going to happen all around the city. And so to pull the plug on that is, you know, is something that just kind of takes the air out of your sails. But we understood it, and we have a great partnership with the NCAA, and I have absolutely no doubt that we'll be hosting another Final Four here in the next few years, and we'll look forward to having them back and putting on the best event they've ever had.
Yeah, no doubt. The you know, do you remember when that was going down? Was there a certain time and place where you're like, did that really just happen? Like, how do we, you know? You kind of think about that moment where you look back on it, remember a place and a time where you were standing or a conversation you had with someone?
Well, we have a committee of four execs that are part of the host committee. And we were sitting having our meeting, and, you know, the word came down that they were going to have to cancel. And I mean, it was just, we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Because you could just see the writing on the wall as the virus was beginning to spread, and the NBA had already postponed part of its season. And so you started to see the dominoes falling. So it was obvious that this was the decision they were going to have to make. However, when you finally hear it and you know it's definitive, I mean, it was just really, it was a lot about lost opportunity.
Yeah, right.
For the city, and then just the disappointment for all the people who worked so hard on it, both the staff at the NCAA, who we've gotten to know very well, as well as our own staff and the volunteers and everybody in the city who was taking part in it. And you know, it's such a big event. I mean, it's over $100 million worth of economic activity that goes on in the city. So you know, beyond just the, like I said, the game itself, you've got all the events that happen around that. We had the concerts that were going to be at the park that, you know, we're going to have tens of thousands of Atlanta residents taking part in all these activities. And so, you know, we had planned a great event, and it's just disappointing that, we weren't able to put it on, but this is, you know, it's what happens sometimes. And so what you got to do is immediately pick yourself up and say, okay, what's the next opportunity? And, you know, in our business, we've had all the convention activity for the month of April and May just canceled. And so, you know, we're looking at June, and we're hoping that, you know, here in the next few weeks, we'll start to see some light at the end of the tunnel. And if we can get to some level of business normalcy as we get to June, we have a very robust convention calendar in the back half of the year in Atlanta. So we do have a great opportunity to, you know, to really come back strong. It's all about right now just surviving, you know, this spring and into the first part of summer.
Do you think, is there anything, have you had any talks or what do you think the post-COVID convention world is like? Definitely everybody's giving out hand sanitizer. The number one premium item, I'm sure. But what are your thoughts there? I mean, it's such a key part of how we connect. And then I just wonder if there's any thoughts about that, or people starting to think about what that looks like. You know, just
well, I think, you know, you've hit on a couple of points. You know, early on, as we, you know, get back to, you know, some level of business activity, that's going to start slow. So, as I always talk about the convention business, there are really two parts. One is to book the business, and the second is to get the attendees to come. And so I think attendance is going to ramp up slowly. So shows in June, July, and August are going to struggle more for attendance than maybe shows in November and December. We'll have to wait and see. I think for a city like Atlanta, one of the great opportunities is with Delta headquartered here and Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is the largest airport in the world. As domestic flights and international flights come back online, Atlanta's going to be one of the big recipients of those. A lot of those will start back in the city. So getting people to the city, I think, you know, we've got a little bit of an advantage there because we're gonna be on a fast start. And then it gets to, you know, how many hotels have you got open? What are their cleaning processes? Georgia World Congress Center has gone through an extensive cleaning program. And so the convention center, I think, will be in very good shape as well. And then it's about how many restaurants you have. And we know that, you know, we're very concerned about our restaurant community and, you know, how many of those restaurants are going to be able to survive this period of time.
You know, I think about these times when I wrote about it in that article, it's like there's something about unprecedented when it means no one's ever seen it before, which means there's this sort of an equal playing field in some ways of how we're all dealing with it. And you're leading through one of those times. What's a secret? You've done an amazing job. I mean, the board meeting that I was a part of and just sort of watching you and navigate it with a lot of calm in a time of chaos for sure. But where are you finding that? Is it just instinctual, you think, or are you trying to channel something you've read?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I spent a lot of time in the corporate world and went through a lot of, you know, different business downturns and learned a lot from some really talented CEOs about how you manage a business during a downturn. And then some of it is just, you know, instinctive. You know, I think that calmness that you talk about is something that people have always said when, you know, whenever we're in a pressure situation, people have always said, you know, you just seem to get so calm. And I'm probably churning inside, but I think when you're leading, people, you know, you got to project that calmness and also get people focused on the task. And, you know, we've been meeting, I think one thing is employees want to hear from you. So even though we've been separated, I've been doing conference calls. I've been sending emails on Mondays to the staff, updating them.
A lot of that is great. I mean, so many people are doing that now. And I think it's sort of like, I need to talk to my employees more and my staff. So,
well, people want to hear from you and people have questions. And I think the other thing we've done well is we've been very transparent. You know, as we were cutting expenses through the business, I've, you know, talked to the employees about that. I've shared to them, shared with them, this is my thought process. Right. So you may not understand or you may not agree with everything I'm doing, but you're going to have clarity on why I'm doing it and why I think it's the right thing to do. And I think people appreciate that. And then giving them something to do. So shortly after we got through our expense reductions, we got focused on the recovery, and our leadership has been providing the staff with a lot of projects and things that need to get done and be ready when we get back. So we've got people that are actively engaged and working on a variety of programs that we can implement as soon as we get back to business. And I talk to the leadership every other week just to get updates on how things are going and, you know, discussions about any questions they're getting. You know, I think that's worked pretty well. I've gotten some very nice notes from the staff who appreciate that approach. And I think so far we've weathered the storm well.
Oh, man, you make
it. We got a good plan in place, but we just got to continue to execute it and, you know, keep going until we get through this.
So, and that's great. It's great advice, great leadership. And are you, the biggest question I have though, because I'm not able to see you, but have you decided to grow the stash back, like for the quarantine stash?
I have been growing the quarantine stash back, yes.
That's so good.
Yes, without question. Several people said, you know, you're not going to have to do a lot of television. And
I think this is
over the next few weeks. So now this would be a good time to.
I was wondering, that may be the good luck charm the city needed. you got a book or a song, any, you know, as we, so what do you, are you channeling anything? Have you, give me one thing of inspiration as we part here.
Wow. Inspiration.
That's like a song. You can even like, you know, get it, you know, an old Goldie, something you've listened to recently. That's pretty good. I listen to that more.
You know, I'll tell you what I have been, doing a lot. This is kind of personal interest to me. I'm very interested in the universe and how it works. And so I spent a lot of time reading about, you know, the Big Bang Theory and all the things that are associated with that, how the universe interacts with each other. And, you know, I found that really interesting because nature always finds a way.
Yeah.
And nature's going to find a way here. We're going to get through this. And it's going to be a combination of a lot of really smart people coming up with some, you know, medicines and vaccines and things that are going to help us. And then it's also going to be as nature adjusts and our bodies adjust and start developing antibodies to fight this. And so, you know, there is a logic to everywhere and everything in the universe. And I find some great calm in that.
Wow.
It gives me hope that, you know, we are going to get through this. And when we get through this, you know, we'll have a little period as we adjust, but I think we'll get back to a sense of normalcy Atlanta, soon.
And then once you lead Atlanta back, you're going to go and become an astronomer or, you know, someone that reads the skies for us.
I don't know about that. I'm not really smart enough to be a cosmologist. I'd be more like, I don't know, somebody who's giving tours and letting people look through telescopes and things like
that. Right, well, you get the stash, so that'll work, man. Thank you. Hey, William, I can't thank you enough. I know you're busy, and I appreciate
Hey, buddy, it's great to be with you. Always great to talk with you, and thank you for all that you're doing. As we were talking a little bit earlier, while people are home, they're looking for content to consume, and you know, hopefully this is something that sparks an idea or gives some people some comfort while they're at home. So very happy to do it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Take care, William.
All right, buddy.
All right. All the best.